The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
El podcast más chingón. Puras entrevistas machín.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the What Did He Said podcast. We are back at it with a new motherfucking episode. Give it up for Rob, the producer.
Hey, everybody.
Marisol, my vieja.
Babe, I almost feel like the song for the intro should be "What Did He Said?" Almost like a Bieber, like little beat.
Go pop with it. What did he say?
We gotta, do it. You gotta do a song for the podcast.
What did he say?
Right? It'd be hilarious. It should be.
Something. I love the beeps.
Yeah.
The beepster.
It's actually not a bad idea.
That's what I felt like singing right now when I heard "What Did He Said?" podcast.
Is episode 100 video up?
The video's not up. The audio's up.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. Shout out to everybody that came out to the first live motherfucking recorded in person in the flesh podcast in Houston, Texas. What better city to set it off in, man? Set it off in the H. Shout out to everybody that came out. The episode was pretty good. We were a little bit nervous. I ain't gonna lie.
I wasn't. Okay, so here's what I was nervous about is there's a difference between talking here within us and we're kind of having a convo.
And people staring at you.
And then people staring at us having a convo.
Be funny.
You know what I'm saying? So I didn't know what they were expecting for us to do. Like, were we supposed to be hype? Were we supposed to be like just ourselves? Like, I didn't know what they were expecting I didn't know what to expect from them either. You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, you got to, you always got to remember, like, the size of the crowd, size of the room. When it's, like, Saturday night lit, everybody's been pre-partying, like, they show up crunk, then it's definitely going to be that crunk type of vibe. But it's, like, Thursday, we just got off of work. Some of us still, struggle, finding parking, stragglers. It's going to be a different type of vibe.
So.
But out there, we have the Blackhawks going over us. Over here by the Air Force Base and shit. Shout out to Corpus Christi. I was just out there and I seen a whole bunch of Black Hawk helicopters. Because I didn't know they work on them out there.
I didn't either.
That's supposedly like the main employer out there. Like the main job is them working on the helicopters.
The more you know.
So what were you saying before the helicopters interrupted you?
I don't know.
So
long day already.
R.I.P. Juice WRLD. You heard about the rapper from Chicago?
Yeah. I wasn't too familiar with his work until I actually saw, I looked him up. I was like, oh, okay.
I just knew one song that was, real catchy. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's the only one I knew about either.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know he sang it until you told me.
Yeah. And then I saw him freestyling, for hours on YouTube. I was like, oh, shit, he's, rapping for real. He's freestyling for real. It wasn't just, melodic stuff. Supposedly, according to TMZ, I think that's who it was.
That's
I
our
think
source.
It was TMZ. Well, supposedly, man, I'm not too sure where I got all this info, but they were on a private jet, you know how rappers do, with the entourage, and supposedly the pilot snitched and was like, man, I think some of these dudes got weapons or I smell dope or something, right? As they're landing in the Chicago airport, feds and everybody already waiting for them. So now they're like, shit, some shit's going down. Homeboy decides to eat a bunch of pills so he wouldn't get caught with them. I don't know how many he ate, but supposedly had a seizure there at the airport and then later pronounced dead.
Damn, I didn't know that.
Yeah, supposedly they found 37 pounds of weed. There's no telling where they flew in from.
Wow.
But supposedly that's been a little hustle, man. The whole private plane hustle is, supposedly because you're not having to go through TSA, people be finessing like that. It's like having your own. It's like the cocaine cowboy days.
Yeah.
It's like having your own private thing. Like, nobody fucks with you. They're not checking to see what you went to do in Panama, why you got so much luggage all of a sudden.
That's a good point. I never thought of that. That's smart.
But they be catching on sometimes. According to my news, how I gathered it, that's what happened.
According to Alex Jones.
Yeah.
InfoWars.
Yeah. So, RIP to Juice WRLD. And it's unfortunate that people are really fucking with pills and opiates and stuff, whether it's pharmaceutical or the worst shit is the black market stuff with the fentanyl in it. That's how Mac Miller and Prince and a couple other people died. But
what a dark note to start the podcast on.
You know what's funny though? Speaking of pills and all that, you know when they had the DARE, I think I've said this before on the show, when they had the DARE program at school, in elementary school?
Dude, they're still kicking around out there.
Okay, well.
Yeah, they'd be posted up outside.
I was that one student that was terrified when they talked about what drugs do to you and how they fry your brain, remember? So like, yeah, I never was tempted to try drugs. Like it just wasn't.
Those commercials are so stupid.
It wasn't the commercials. They'd brought like someone to to school like that had, I think I told you, it was weed. Mm-hmm. It was
weed.
They said, this
I guy, smoked weed and yeah, now I'm all fucked up.
Well, he was like drooling from his mouth. I remember it vividly. And he was in a wheelchair and I was like, shit, weed did all that. I mean, now I know weed doesn't do that to you. He must have been on something else.
They rolled
have been
in a guy that had a stroke.
Then in high school, right, here's now the drinking part, still the DARE program type thing. But now they had this woman who was a lawyer, right? And she was supposed to be the designated driver for her girlfriends at, they were in college, right? And so they were going to a concert. She was a designated driver. And her friends were like, come on, just have one wine cooler. Wine cooler on top of that. We all know that wine coolers have like nothing. Mm-hmm. So here's what happened. She had a wine cooler, right? And then it was time for them to leave. She drove. Well, the Honda that they were in, like, malfunctioned. So, but because she was drinking and she, well, because she was over the drinking limit off of that one wine cooler, she was charged with manslaughter because her best friend and her boyfriend died in the back.
What did she run into? How she wrecked?
She kind of lost control of the car. And so it spun and they hit a tree.
Ooh.
And so her and the other girl in the front seat survived. But the friends in the back, right, her best friend and the boyfriend, they had seatbelts, but their heads hit. So their heads, you know what I'm saying, with the collision, their heads collided together, and that's how they died. Marcos. You know what I'm saying? So they literally had, like, banged their heads, and they were out. So
this was a DARE speaker in your high school?
In my high school, yeah. So imagine that. She was a lawyer now.
But she was anti-alcohol.
She has, for the rest of her life, she has to go around high schools speaking about drinking and driving for the rest of her life.
I wonder if she's like dialing it in at this point.
Still,
all right, kids, listen up.
She's still, at the time, so
I'm
this was.
I'm telling y'all this because I have to.
No, she like, I don't know if she, okay, so she cried during the thing. So I don't know if like it's part of her speech, right?
She's like, I need to work on that outro.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now that I'm here,
she has notes. Like my tears were natural.
Yeah.
I felt connected to my script.
I don't know if that's, you know what I'm saying, if that's the case or whatever, but it was crazy because as she was telling the story, so when she got married, because she was still on the ankle monitor, her wedding had to end at 10, well, before 10 p.m., she had to be home. So she got married and her wedding had to end. So she had to leave her own wedding, wow, right, at 9:30 p.m. because she needed to be home by 10 p.m. due to her anklet,
can
right?
Can you imagine a groom that was like dating this chick? She's like, oh, by the way, somebody need to tell you. I always got to be home by 10 because of this. And she like raises up her oh, okay. No, it's cool. It's cool.
She has to blow into her car for the rest of her life, wow, also. So she's not going to.
For the rest of her life?
For the rest of her life. Off of a wine cooler. And really this was more because they were best friends though since kindergarten.
Mm.
Can you imagine that? She says she has no problem doing it because she said she'll never have her best friend again. Oof. And she says that's the only way she feels like, you know, she's.
But it was the car's fault, right?
I know it was the car's fault.
Oh, the car malfunctioned?
The car malfunctioned. And it was actually some kind of like recall.
I know why she became a lawyer, because she needed a good one back then. She's like, man, if I'd have just had a good fucking lawyer, they'd have been like, hey, man.
Honda.
She took all the punishment because basically she was the, which I understand, her best friend's mom did not want to see her at the funeral. So she didn't get to go to her best friend's funeral. And so, you know, she's basically just broken for the rest of her life. But she said she felt like there was no punishment enough for what she did, and she was like, so she was okay with doing these things for the rest of her life. It's a lesson that she had to learn. And so she, I guess, obviously beat herself up. This was in 2000, y'all. We were about to graduate high school, so it was like something that they did as you're going on into, you know, which is crazy because later on when I was
did she smell like wine coolers?
Took
damn,
an Uber.
That's fucked up.
Was she slurring? Hey, and y'all don't be like me, okay?
And it's when people were like, "Do you have any questions?" You know, at the end, how they do a little Q&A. I had no questions.
What flavor was it?
No. What brand? Yeah. Corona has a good one.
So, do you like White Claw?
Truly.
So yeah, I felt pretty. That was pretty. So what I'm saying is, those little things were always like, man, I obviously look at how much detail I still remember from a fucking Dare talk. You know, so I've been one of those. Impacted students.
Well, shit, I be asking them though. I'm like, so what's y'all stance on marijuana? Considering they're like, well, we've updated our propaganda. I mean,
so funny enough, there was a Dare. We went to like whatever I think Academy or something in Sugarland, and there was a Dare booth or table set up right between two of the stores that Don and I were about to walk into, and both of us were fucking degenerates. So we're just like, oh God, I don't want to talk to these people, right? So we just kind of like went around, and someone else got to talk to them first. It's like, cool. Walked out, and they were like, but we just like walked around, didn't even say anything. But she was talking to another lady, and the first thing she said was, well, our stances have changed. We've updated a lot of our views on things, but I didn't hear any of it. So what have they changed as far as?
I don't recall exactly, but I think they maybe are like a little bit more lenient towards the marijuana.
Mm. Yeah, because I'm telling you, in fifth grade when they came, I mean, as you're going into sixth grade,
it's gonna make you drool,
man. It was this boy in the wheelchair and he was drooling from his mouth and he was talking like
what Stephen Hawking, like, talking about science.
He's got a button, he's talking through a button in his chair.
I wasn't that serious, but he talked like, real
so we
slow.
Make you smart. Is that what you're telling me?
And then when I was in high school, funny thing is, this girl that I was in the only, I'm not smart, guys. I'm okay. But the only AP class I had was English, right? And so this girl in my class, she would always come in. I'm one of those students who, in order for me to like do well, I have to actually study. I'm not like a natural, like, you know, like Pete. Like Pete is just naturally, Pete, come on. You maybe. Only went to prep school and you only went, thank you.
But in our meeting, she'd be like, what don't you fucking understand, Pete? It's like a double standard.
Why are you
shit?
Fucking confused?
You literally just fucking said, I want to make my YouTube.
You know, there's people
the
who
priority.
Are book smarts and then there's people who common are sense. Common sense smart, right?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so
I'm book smart. She's more common sense.
Yeah, I'm very common sense smart, you know? Like, and so, no, I know it. Like, I'm more of a street smart person.
I don't know. Like, I can shoot dice. I can roast you.
I'm more like a survivor. I know how to make shit happen.
It's like constant digs.
At hey, I know how to make a dollar out of 15 cents, you know?
Hop fences, dodge the po-po. You know, several gang signs just in case I'm in the wrong hood. You know, no, street no. smart.
You know what I mean? So anyway, this girl used to come in class like just like this the whole time. I used to be like, why is that girl always looking like that? And she smelled like cigarette. I guess, I don't know if she would smoke a cigarette after she smoked the weed so that she'd smell like cigarette and not the weed. I really don't
know. It's cigarette.
Yeah. And then one day, I don't know, I think she gave me a ride after class, after like school or something. And then and she said, I was like, she goes, you want some? I was like, no, I don't do drugs. You know what I'm saying? And then she was like, she was like, how do you think I'm pass every? I think I pass every class. I'm like, smoking weed? She's like, yeah.
I thought it makes you drool.
This bitch was, she graduated top 10, bro.
Damn.
She probably
top
had a,
10.
She must have had a good strain to help her focus and shit.
Yeah, because she was like, focused.
I'm about to do all this motherfucking vocab first. Then I'm going to review my notes. Take a little break, then come
I
back.
I was tripping.
And touch on the chapters I feel weak in. It's like, God.
So
damn.
She did the weed, and then there was another girl in the class that did the Adderall or whatever.
I was
going to
say,
called.
She was probably hopped up on Adderall.
Yeah. I'm scared of that.
Oh. Yeah, I don't do. But she was like, I'll give you one if you want to try it. Because I used to be like, you smoke weed, and you're in all AP classes, and you know, you're like about to graduate top 10, and you can smoke weed. Like, you know, you. You know, you're taught to like, if you smoke weed, oh, you're a little druggy, or, you know, or anything like that. It's like, oh, you're a little druggy. This girl was like genius. Like, she was super smart. And I used to just always be like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's going to function the same way for me. Like, I don't know why. I just always felt it wasn't going to function. It wasn't going to do the same thing. And it's true. It doesn't do that for me. It doesn't do that for me.
Meanwhile, she would have been just as smart with or without.
Probably.
Weed.
Yeah. She's just not a smart girl.
I mean, some people, I think it does help them.
Like, but she swore by her weed, though. It was like, and before she went into every class, it was like, she was, I'll be back. I'm going to the restroom.
Unless it was just like she was really, had good study habits, like good student. And then she just started thinking that the weed was helping.
Well, but. She did, because you know what's funny, babe? You're so right. Because right after we would be done with soccer practice, she would say, all right, it's time for me to go. She'd be like, It's time for me to go turn to a, what is it called, a hermit? Or
she's like, books and blades.
A hermit? Yeah, yeah. She's like, all right, it's time for me to go turn into a hermit.
Instead of wake and bake, it's like, you know, spark up and study.
Yeah, yeah, she's like, it's time for me to go. She goes, girl, put on my headphones. She's like, smoke me some weed. She goes, I get all my work done. Dude, I study. And it's just, I'm like, that's not how it works for me. I have the TV on, I have books open, and I'm trying to answer these questions while the TV, you know what
and
I'm saying?
It's total shit.
Yeah. It's like the total opposite for me. You know, I was like, oh, she's about to go get, okay. I was
like, imagine how the kids are now with like all these edibles, CBD and THC stuff that you can get with like a 1-to-1 where it just like mellows you out. You don't get annoyed by your stupid ass teachers or all the other kids in your classroom, you know? How many kids are just popping like somewhat good edibles?
Fuck, I don't know, man. I don't know how common that is.
Things are pretty common.
Well, I need to get a hold of that ratio, like the fucking 5 milligram, 1-to-1 THC to CBD.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, my state hasn't figured out how they're going to make money off of weed while keeping people in prison. Because they're like, wait a minute, we're going to lose out on all this prison money. Fuck you mean we got to legalize it? Mm-hmm. They're like, how are we going to corner that market? And then we'll make the shit legal. That's all they're trying to do is figure that out. But shit, I wish I had access to that.
Speaking of all this, which is probably stupid and maybe not a great way to segue into this, but today, which I never listened to the radio, right? So just there's nothing else on anything good, but I just happened to listen to it today. And they were talking about that in Canada, they're trying to make it illegal to take a selfie. If you go to a funeral, you know how some people like to take selfies with like the deceased family member or friend?
No, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing either. I've never taken a picture with anyone.
I don't even want to walk up.
I don't
want to walk up.
I don't want to see them either.
No. They don't like, look the same. Obviously, they don't
exactly.
Even look the
same. They don't. You know what I'm saying? And so then it's like, I was like, they're trying to make it illegal. Like, who even takes a picture? Like, why is that
like
okay?
You're taking a picture with a dead person.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. So it's a selfie and the person's back here. And so they're trying to make it illegal in Canada. So that you can't do
and
that.
And then who enforces that? Like the state or like who?
Whoever's like
you get a fine?
Yeah.
Good question. Weird. I don't know. But I thought that was kind of weird, right?
Yeah, I'm always for less government, but that's just weird anyway.
That's really weird. I was like, or even like when sometimes, you know, like as their pictures of someone like in the casket and they post it like RIP. I just feel like that's so disrespectful to that person. Like, bitch, I don't want to be fucking
bitch,
put
did
on
you put
social
a filter
media.
On my shit?
Yeah.
Like you're not alive anymore to be like, bitch, you didn't get my good angle.
I know.
Bitch,
like,
did you tag me, bitch?
How do you know that person wants to be on social media
did
that way? You
did
know?
They tag the dead person?
They better.
Yeah, I think that's for.
Or if they put the little doggy ears and shit on the person.
It's just the tongue sticking out.
Seriously,
but they can't open their
I just think
anymore.
That's kind of. That thing to me, those types of things are so private to me. So like for me, it's not a, like I'm going to put a picture of that person, but I'm, you know, just as a RIP type thing, but I'm not going to put a picture of the funeral, us walking, you know.
That's how I'm going to be cremated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, I'm down with that too. I'm not.
Instead of, you know, expensive casket.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not into the whole.
And with cremation, besides paying for the cremation, what else you got to?
If you want it in a nice jar and you pay for the jar.
In the Irishman, weren't they trying to charge for things? They're like, well, in the mausoleum, you could put their name. Maybe that's like upgrades, huh?
Yeah, that's if you actually want to have one. You don't have to have one at the little funeral. At the cemetery type thing. You don't have to have
the
one.
House thing.
Yeah, it's only if like you want people to come visit you. It's a place where they can come visit. And that's basically it. And you can leave if I'm not mistaken, you can actually leave the ashes there if you want. Or you can keep them. Like, you know.
Yeah, there's a couple of things you can do. Like, one would be, like, let's just say, for instance, somebody's significant other died. You could take their ashes and make it into a diamond. They can compress it and make it into a diamond.
Because it's carbon.
Yeah, you can make it into a piece of jewelry. Or there's something else where you take the ashes and, like, you put it in this pod and with some kind of, like, fertilizer, and then it turns into, like, a plant or something.
I also heard there's this thing that they wrap the body in. It's like a picture, like a volleyball net or something. But it has, like, mushroom spores and like seeds or some shit.
You were telling me about that.
And it I don't know what, I'm not an expert, but as your body decomposes, you're feeding those things.
That might be what I'm thinking about.
It's releasing nitrous, some shit. But speaking of all this death stuff, I went and got my will thing almost situated.
Oh, good.
And updated and fixed and everything.
That's important. People don't understand how important that shit is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty important.
Yeah.
Because if not, you just be up there like, damn, man, they over here fighting over crumbs, man. What the fuck going on?
Yep.
Yeah, that's always sad, too. Like, when people die unexpected, like Prince and stuff like that.
Oh, when the lawyer was asking us questions, I just started crying. I was like, I can't answer nothing. I'm going to start crying again thinking about it. It was like, so if he's on life support, I'm like, I don't want to think about that. Like, I don't want to talk
about
that.
He's like, hey, bro, you want them to pull a plug? Like, if you're a vegetable? And I'm like, hey, man, we don't call it that.
That's like, oh my God. I was like, Pete's like, it is life, man. I'm like, I know, like, but I don't want to talk about that. Like, gosh.
It's like, look, man, when the simulation is over, this is what happens. You're born, and then there's a series of flashes and lights and events and things, and then you die. It's how you interpret. I'm just stealing this from that dude, Naval. Mm-hmm. It's how you interpret. It sounds fly, but I'm getting it for somebody else. It's how you interpret, like, do you look at the bright side of that series? Like, what are you doing with that time?
Yeah.
You know, because you're born and you die. And in between, there's a series of actions, events, flashes, and meaning and symbolism. And how you choose to interpret the shit is kind of what life is about. So, you know. That's why I'm glad I read Sapiens.
Take a drink to that, guys. From now on, new drinking game on the podcast. Every time
Chingo mentions the book Sapiens,
we are going to take a sip of whatever you have in your hand.
Or Mighty Soul says, "Y'all, don't forget that part."
Like for instance, the story you told about the lady that's having to speak at schools, mm-hmm. and she wasn't allowed at her friend's funeral because the mom didn't want her there. Well, if she had read Sapiens. No, it's almost like, no, I get it. You need to mourn and this symbolic thing that us primates, Homo sapien, like two-legged motherfucking us little beings, these little, however you see us, these evolved fucking little monkeys, basically, right? What's Brian's thing called? Complicated apes.
Yeah.
Let's just say we're like complicated apes. And it's like, no, I get it. Like, have your moment. Like, you know,
it's all about, like, in that same vein that what you just said, it's a lot of it while you're alive is about when something happens and how you interpret everything. It's about, like, your reaction to things, not necessarily your actions. So a lot of people just react off of instinct and they don't take a time to, like, kind of, you know, take it easy, you know, let's react a little bit better instead of just lash out at whatever just happens, or seeing things like the silver lining of things. I know it's hard to do, but if you could try to at least, like, look at the silver lining of, like, a bad situation, it'll make the journey a lot
more
bearable.
That's one thing I'm trying to work on, because right before this, we had a meeting where we're talking about like how hard some people work and how much shit they have going on for whatever reason, because you want to buy the newest stuff and then more stuff and then the newest version of that stuff and the old stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but are you happy? It's like, it's not always about chasing success and, you know, winning and do more of this. And I want to be number one, and, you know, my status. I have status here. I have power over here, and motherfuckers know me over here. And it's like all identity.
Yeah.
It's all like. All
right, but let me, because Chingo loves to do this, and play devil's advocate now. Mm-hmm. How do you know that it's not about status for them, but rather maybe that's.
Yeah, just, maybe they are happy.
They're very happy.
No,
right?
Maybe they are. Maybe that's what makes them happy. But what I'm saying is like, we should also work hard at making sure that we're being happy along this journey. Mm-hmm. Right? Because you don't want to just work, pay taxes, pay bills, and die.
Yeah.
Or work, always be stressed, because you're always working towards some imaginary moment when you'll be able to retire and finally get to chill, when it's like, you could have been chilling the whole time.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, we saw an episode yesterday on Black Mirror. Yeah,
I wrote it down right now.
Oh, which one? Mirror.
That was kind of like...
Did you see the... It's like the newest season.
I think
first
it's the newest
episode.
Season. I think Miley Cyrus is one of the episodes.
Ooh, no, I haven't seen any of the new ones.
We just watched one yesterday, and it was kind of the whole virtual reality world thing. Oh, you know how I'm so scared of that
I
stuff.
Love it.
Some Ray Kurzweil shit.
Oh, okay.
So
check this out.
So the reason, the way I think the writers for Black Mirror, the way they work, I think they read like futuristic type shit. Like they're developing cloning in China, or they're finding ways to do this and that. So I think what they do is they find stuff like that and then start thinking about how could shit get complicated in that situation? Like, what are some of the ethical, like, lines and shit that could get crossed, right? And then they write a whole story about it. So without doing a spoiler alert, this is the episode where it's, they show a young dude, it's a couple, and they have a baby. Well, he has an old buddy, like, from back in the day. And they used to play video games. They show them, like, always being good buddies in the beginning. Like, you know, and then years go by. And then homeboy comes by to like an event. And long story short, he
well, the here's the thing. He's married. One of the guys is married now with a family. The other guy is still living the single life, dating and, you know, doing that whole, you know, single guy thing,
smashing
right?
Smashing and passing.
Exactly. Smashing and passing.
So the smashing and passing guy.
But yeah. He only comes to visit once a year, which is his buddy's birthday. So he comes for birthdays only.
And he hooked him up with a new copy of a new video game.
Of the same video game they used to play back in the days.
It's the new version. It's like Street Fighter.
Sure.
But it's the new version. It's like, and then he gives him, he's like, oh, this is that virtual reality shit, but I don't have one of the headsets. He's like, don't worry, bro. It's in the bag. It's crazy. They showed me the demo in the store. And it's like this little thing that you put it right here and they fucking like.
And your eyes, their eyes even turn like this grayish.
Like white. But they zap in and they go into this like super, here's where it gets crazy. Super realistic virtual environment where they literally like feel everything. Ooh. So when they punching, you know,
you know where this is going.
So you know where to punch in. All right. So they're in the game, right? And the single guy that's smashing and passing, he always used to pick like the Chun-Li type character, like the female. And then homeboy would always pick like a Ryu type of guy. And it was like named Lance in the game. So now they're in the game and it's like, ah, psh, psh, I'm gonna beat you up, bitch. Ah, bitch. Ah, stop playing. Ho. Ah, psh, psh, hey, man. And it's like, oh, shit feels real, man. He's like, yeah, it's real in here, right? He's like, psh, psh. And then boom, they start kissing. The little Chun-Li, which is Carl or the homie.
Okay. The homie, which is the smashing and passing guy.
And the Ryu type dude, which is the guy that's married with a kid. And they start kind of like borderline doing it. But they're in the game.
Okay.
So, it's in the game.
So instantly, obviously they get out the exit game. Like, this is weird. It gets like, oh, I was drunk the other day, bro. But instantly we start thinking like, wait, does the guy that picks the girl and was the girl in the game, does he really identify as female? Like, does he really
want
gay? To be?
So yeah. Now are they gay?
Does that make them gay now? Like,
because they're not physically really doing anything.
They're in their own house.
It's in their own home.
Virtual.
Right. So,
but it begs the question of, at what point does virtual reality get so real that it starts to like not only feel and look real, but kind of.
And he started to have feelings because he didn't want to touch the wife.
Well, he got so sucked in, the guy that was married, he got so sucked into the game because they were like playing every night, basically having an affair. They were having like this emotional, like, but also physical in the virtual world.
So sucked in and sucked off in the game.
Both.
Well, no, because in one of the little sessions, fights or whatever, he's like, Lance, right, is asking like the guy, like, what does it feel like when I'm doing you, like you're the girl? He's like, it's this unexplainable feeling, like the, like, I don't know how to explain. I'm like, wait, so he has a vagina in this movie, like in the virtual world. He really is a female. He's a vagina, and they for real have sex, like hot sex, like,
but it's,
you know,
but it's the little blonde Asian girl and the Ryu looking dude.
Hey.
That's the part. That's the part they always show. But inside, it's Carl and his homeboy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, we don't want to give up the ending, but they explore some stuff. It gets complicated, and then at the end, there's a crazy little twist.
So back to the blonde Asian though.
I'm just kidding. I mean, yeah, that's how homeboy's trying to, you know, argue like
that's how he's justifying it. Yeah,
they actually try to meet up and kiss in person
to test it
to see if they really like each other.
Yeah,
and then the smashing passing guy was like, "How do you feel?" Nothing. He's like, "Me either." And then they start fist fighting because the married guy's like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore.
Cut it off. Like, because his wife is already like, hey, man, what's going on?
Like, she's like crying. Like, why don't you touch me anymore? Like, I don't get pats on the back, like little rubs on the back anymore. Like, what is going on? And she's been wanting to get pregnant, you know? And so he was like, I'm just tired. You know, I just
like,
don't want to.
You got to hit it in order for me to get pregnant.
Yeah. She's like, I got to get fucked in order for me to, like, she went there. God. Yeah, I was like,
show.
Whoa,
I fucking love that show.
Yeah, yeah, the writing is,
man,
great.
It was like, okay, because I wanted to go to bed early, obviously, and I was telling Peter, all right, babe, we're only watching one, okay? Because
see, look at that.
oh,
look, it heard you say, because I want to go to bed early, and she's like, I'm not sure I understand. Siri thinks I'm talking about going to bed.
Ain't nobody talking to you, Siri.
That's for episode 2, Black Mirror, bitch.
He's like, she's like, no, you're a bitch. What if she replied that?
I know, right?
That's scary when they're going to fucking start saying that shit to you.
The watch starts getting hella tight.
Arm chops off. Next thing you know, we're in an episode of Black Mirror. Oh, my God.
Hi.
the simulation. Are watching us right now on TV talk about TV.
Oh my God. I'm so freaked out about that. When that starts to happen, I don't know that I'm...
It's too You're a vlogger and a blogger and a podcaster and
I'm not putting on nothing and going into another world.
A little happy.
That was freaky because I thought he was going to put on the glasses and it was going to be that when I saw that it was just this little dot and he just put it there and it was like a little,
like some old gum from up under the table.
I mean, in all fairness, when you put the wig on and put the camera on, you're going into another place.
You know what I'm saying? Rob, not a good example. Sorry.
Come on.
Or when you're on social media, that's not really the real world.
Yeah.
Because everybody's being a little avatar.
Yeah. That's what they call them, avatars. Isn't that weird that they call our social pictures avatars?
Well, when the movie Avatar was coming out, I couldn't wait to see it because I had just read about what avatars were and how they're going to come in the future from the Ray Kurzweil book.
I never saw Avatar.
The one with their blue and yeah. Well, supposedly they're gonna have that shit one day. Where like, there's been a whole bunch of movies. There's a movie where like Bruce Willis, where he has like a little. Have you seen that one? It's like he's like a cop, but he sits. The real him goes inside of this like pod thing, like the real human him that ages, and then the little avatar him, like his little consciousness. There's a lot of shit going on with that, where they can put your consciousness into like another thing. And that's what that movie's about. And that's really what Avatar's about, because he's a soldier that's handicapped.
Right.
And Sigourney Weaver is a scientist, and they put him in this thing, and he's able to go into this Avatar world in an avatar.
I feel like we were talking about movies not too long ago or a while back, and somebody had messaged the podcast page about one in particular that none of us could think of. I want to see if I can find it real quick.
Oh, like The Answer to something?
Yeah, The Answer to something. And I was like, oh, shit, I forgot about that movie.
I'm scared of that. I'm just not really. I like... There's still that little old school in me where I just want to touch and feel, and I don't want to be in another world. And I think that like...
Every night you go into another world.
I know, but I don't even know because I'm asleep. Well, so that's what all I'm, good. Well,
that's my point.
I'm not choosing. Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying?
Well,
like,
my point is that motherfucking humans and scientists, they still don't know what all happens when you go to sleep. We still don't understand the human brain fully. And like, why the fuck we our behavior half the time? They don't understand addiction. They're like, oh, we think it's a disease now. We really ain't figured it out. So like, my point is, we're living in this society, in this world where so much of these rules and constructs, from religion to what do you do when a family member dies, like how do you mourn, like just all these cultural things like, think about it. You're socialized from the time you're born. You pledge an allegiance to something. You know, you're sitting in a row, you know.
But I'm okay with honoring the Texas flag. Sorry.
You know, and the American flag. But they're all ideas, right? What is democracy? You know, what is this? What is that? So we're living in a world where we're participating in a whole bunch of stuff that may be proven wrong in the future. Like, newsflash, guys, that's not what happens when you die. Mm-hmm. Or like, newsflash, guys, that's not what your body's doing when it's asleep or whatever. Like, we're participating in a thing where we still don't know all the answers and shit might be proven wrong in the future and we're just kind of going along with the shit.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Facts. Right now, people are like, yeah, Chingo, yeah, in their cars right now. Like, you're right.
Like, one of the things, this is like off subject. One of the things I got sucked into on YouTube is like, looking at all the crazy examples of colonialism in different parts of the world. For example, the Belgium, how they went into the Congo, like in Africa, and they just like fucked over people, like took all
the resources.
There's
a channel on YouTube, that DW Documentaries. They got some good ones on there. He got me into them. I don't know if he knew about them, but he has been watching them, and I'm like, wow.
Around the holidays, when we were like getting the house in order, I'm just like looking up like things about I learned some shit about like the kind of like money and the global dollar and all this bullshit. But the colonialism stuff is interesting because like Germany went into, what was that country? I think they changed the name of it, Zambia, something. But you see all these examples of like how they stole the land. Mm-hmm. Like you just start seeing patterns. Like, oh, wait, that sounds like redlining in America. Or like, wait, that sounds like apartheid. Or like covert racism, and You know, and it's some trippy ass shit. They had people in human zoos up until like not that long ago, where like people in Belgium could be like, oh, look, ah, and like throwing, like making noises at Africans that they had in an exhibit. Like throwing bananas at people and making faces and noise, like, ooh, like just ignorant as fuck.
And wow. Then you were saying that I haven't watched that one, but weren't you saying that they were like, oh, look at the baby, like as if it were like,
well, yeah, they just know? Had him behind like a bamboo fence, like living there, and they're like, bro, why y'all staring at us? Like, we're fucking humans, right? But it's the same shit that was going on when you have like America and like the Native Americans and like, you know, from the Comanche, what happened to these tribes? Why are these people on reservations? Or you look at Mexico, where like my great grandfather was mining. Damn, that was loud as fuck. Pass, fuck this combo. Like mining for silver in Mexico, but all that silver was getting put on a boat and getting sent where? To Spain.
Yeah.
So that's always happening all over the world, where it was rubber from the Congo getting sent back to Belgium. Diamonds and I forget what else they took from I forgot that country, bro. But how they would, like, for instance, there was like a local, it's some part of Africa, but like every year,
Tanzania,
nah, I can't remember the name, bro. Right. But like basically every part of Europe, like I guess Europe was already really crowded and shit, and they just started it was like an African gold rush, like everybody go to Africa and figure out how to get resources and like take shit that they have. And like, if there's a local dispute, like between two tribes, how they can maybe sell weapons to one side, make promises to the other, have them sign a little fake treaty. Long story short, they end up with all the land, and then they set up all the rules, and then their ancestors to this day still own all the farmland. And now everybody else is in the shanty towns and the outskirts, like marginalized. And you see it over and over and over again. I don't give a fuck if it's Memphis, you know what I'm saying, Mississippi,
yeah,
or you're looking at some other country, or if you're looking at Mexico. And it might sound like an anti-colonialism, anti-European rant, but that's the shit that I'd be watching on YouTube.
Dude, man, the history of just the United States alone, but without even getting into Europe or anywhere else, is pretty fascinating, too. Like, I think everybody, as you get older, you get more interest in it, because were you interested in history a whole lot when you were younger?
Nah, because they told it in a real boring ass way.
Right, and a lot of it you come to find out isn't even factual on top of it. So if you, as you get older, I guess you get a little more interested in like what happened before all of this was here, right? But just like how settlers came and just like took all the natives' land, like just all around the United States, like we just like, this is ours now, you know?
And that literally same thing happened all around the world at the same time.
Yeah.
Whether it was like the British in India, the British in Hong Kong, like... just all over the fucking place, bro. Spain and Mexico, bad. Like I said, Real de Catorce is this little town that was a silver mining town. Now it's a ghost town and mainly only gets... if you look that up on YouTube, that shit's interesting too. Because now the only... Like, no one lives there. I think they said only 500 people live there. And they just get a little bit of tourism because it's a ghost town. And they're also known for... I think it's peyote. Like, it's one of those hallucinogen little cactus things.
Yeah.
It might be peyote, where our ancestors were nomads, you know what I'm saying?
What's another one? Like, is it mescaline? Or there's another one, too.
Mescaline is a frog, ain't it?
Okay, not peyote then. Fuck, what is it? Salvia? I don't know. I've never fucked with
mescaline.
Okay, yeah. I've never fucked with any of them, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. So anyway, that little town in particular, that's where Spain was digging out minerals out of the ground, and now it's just known for like the little peyote. You can go score some peyote.
It's funny how Marisol just left.
Yeah,
she probably had to go to the restroom, but she just slammed the shit out of that door.
No, but it's usually, I'm sure y'all see a pattern. It's usually when I start like nerding out on my shit, she's like, okay, that's my cue. But I'm like, hey, and because the reason, and she's back. The reason I get so into this shit is because, like, my ancestors, you know, were in a situation, well, my parents were in a situation where it's like, hey, man, I think there's more opportunity over there.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
So what happens sometimes, Rob, what freaks me out is that people in countries, hopefully not us, sometimes they wake up and they're like, wait, you heard the price of the gas tripled?
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, what's going on? Well, our leaders in our country are playing this little chess game with leaders from this other country with tariffs and embargoes or nuclear deals or whatever. Long story short, the average person is a pawn. They're like waking up at the mercy of some decisions their leaders made. And now like the price of milk tripled, you know, eggs, everything tripled and rent and jobs went down. And that's the shit I'm afraid of, because you don't want to just, you know, because we see that shit on YouTube too, where like people from all over Africa are trying to like escape instability. Here's my thing, and I'm gonna wrap it up with that.
Yeah, well, I have something to add to that when you finish that
story. Okay, let me just, because I know I sound like I'm rambling, but let me just give my one fucking sentence recap, which is, like, I believe humans just want to be happy and just want some stable shit for their family and their kids, right? Mm-hmm. They want their babies to be safe and us to not, you know, be freezing to death, starving to death, nothing fucked up. So when you have instability in different countries due to like a dictator, shit out of your control, nobody just wakes up and it's like, I want to fucking, you know, not have access to clean water and just be like, my kid might die of diarrhea.
Yeah.
You know, which is a lot of kids be dying like shit like that. So when there is instability, that causes people to bug out, like want to get the fuck out. And that's why you have so many refugees right now as we speak. Like in Italy, all the presidential people, or some of them, they're running on the same shit old boy ran on here. And a dude in Spain is also running on Make Spain Great Again. It's called nationalism.
Right.
So in Italy, you got them doing like Italy first. Hey, man, they taking jobs. We can't have all these immigrants bringing their problems. Even in Mexico. Hey, man, these Hondurans coming over here leeching off the system. And we need a better wall down there. And Honduras is going to pay for it. You know what I'm saying? Like everywhere.
ASMR.
Yeah.
Everywhere. But speaking about that, babe, this morning I heard about this teacher in Venezuela who, he's a professional, right? And he went viral because his shoes were like torn and beat up because he can't afford to even buy a pair of shoes, where he's having to pick between eating or shoes. And so they were saying that, I think he makes 5.9, what is it, Bolivian? Or what do they make?
Bolivares.
And so basically, I heard it on the radio, so I don't know. They said that translates to almost like pennies here in the U.S. Damn. And so they were saying that he still goes to school every day to teach, but he can't, you know. They actually showed
that's
the
nothing.
Wait, I'm about to tell you how he went viral. They didn't post him because of his shoes. They posted him as the teacher who still shows up every day to give, you know what I'm saying, to teach these children. While they were showing the video of him teaching these children, they noticed that the shoes were just like torn, and they were like, damn. And so then they interviewed him and it was like, well, it's either between food and that. So they did a GoFundMe. And so basically he did a video of like him having his shoes and what he did with the money. I haven't seen it or found it, but
there's teenagers hunting cats to eat.
Jesus.
There's no food, bro. And Venezuela, it was the third, like top three oil producer for a long time. Like they're known as being a very rich, resourceful countries, but you know, they got a socialist dictator in charge and,
it was crazy. I thought about you when I heard that this morning. I was like, well,
I thought he was going to be eating a cat on a video, because that's what you've that's more of what you've been hearing. Yeah. It's like teenagers are having to figure out how to hunt and catch these fast ass cats because there's no food.
Mm.
So that's the shit that keeps me up. Where I'm like, well, we make a lot of oil too, but that don't mean that.
All America.
It takes is a couple little like checks and balances don't work, a couple loopholes, like, oh, they're electing these type of people now. Oh, this is what they want? Cool. And what really freaks me out is when these other countries find these vulnerabilities in the system, where it's like, wait, you know the social network that they're all on? They're like, yeah, Facebook. You know that they're not going to censor fake news? They're just going to let you run whatever ad you want, political. They're like, fuck yes. Get me a warehouse. I need 10,000 cubicles. Find me 10. It'll be like an oligarch, like somebody with a bunch of money. They'll be like, I don't give a fuck. Hire 10,000 motherfuckers to write tweets, make ads. We're spending. We're just going to confuse the shit out of their people. I told you about the 14% of American students can't tell the difference between fact and opinion.
Interesting.
You haven't heard this shit?
No.
All right. I'm getting a little short version. All right. So basically what they've been finding for the last, I don't know how many years, 50, 60 years, America has not been able to keep up on an educational standpoint when it comes to STEM, like science, tech, engineering, math. Other countries are kicking our ass because apparently they just got a better system somehow, some way. So mad presidents, I think it started, I don't know if it was Jimmy Carter or somebody, they're like, no child left behind. Let's try that. And then it'll be like, okay, we need to have every state compete. Y'all need to make y'all's standardized tests. And if y'all motherfuckers ain't up to par passing, we're going to cut your funding. So now these governors that are up for re-election, they just start putting pressure. It just becomes about the test. So now to make the test easier so I can look better, right? Mm. So now kids ain't learning. Mm. Make the test easier so I don't lose my funding. And now the teachers are only teaching for the test, right? It's not solving a problem. And they went through on the podcast and broke down what Clinton tried, what Obama tried. Every president has been trying something different to try to help those numbers. And what would they realize about this shit?
That it doesn't work?
fuck, it was something else, man.
I forgot.
Yeah, a little brain fart there.
That's all right. Well, if you think about it, I had a question. With Mickey being in the grade she's in, has she brought home any kind of like new math problems and new things that they're fucking doing in school?
New math?
No. Because they are. They're doing
it. Yes, babe.
What kind of math?
You know how she'll be like, so she, to add, right?
Because I've seen this and I don't know anybody with kids old enough yet.
So when she adds, she's like, she'll come and ask me and I'll be like, okay, it's blah, blah, blah. And this is how you solve it. She's like, no, you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm like, why are you making dots? That's how they teach us. I'm like, what?
To multiply?
I was like, just like, you go 1, 2, 3, and then you bring the dot down here and then it's 5. I'm just like, nah, Mickey, I don't know what that is. That's like, but you can go ahead and tell your teacher that I said that is not the way to learn, and I'm going to show you the way that I know, and I guarantee you'll get it.
Yeah.
So then I'll teach her the way that we were taught growing up, and then she'll be like, oh, that's easier. And I'm like, exactly. I don't know this 1, 2, 3 dot, and you know.
Yeah, just it was actually a comedian breaking, like his kid had brought home like a long form division problem and like a long form multiplication.
Yeah.
You know how to do it, you know. Yeah, let's say it's double digits times double digits, and then you would just work it out. Yeah. And then this new math is like you've got like boxes and circles and
lines. Yeah, Mickey does the circle. Mickey does the boxes for multiplications.
I could barely get the regular shit, but yeah. I got that growing up. There's no way kids are getting this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
it sounds like a very dumbed down way. It's like you're literally drawing. If it's 5 times 6, make 5 boxes with 6 dots in each one. Basically, and then they're like, counting 30 yeah. fucking dots. Right.
And then you know, do you remember we were taught bigger bottom borrow?
For division?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So when we were talking about that, it was like, she was like, what? That's not blah, blah, blah. And so she was like, we do it this way. Same thing with please excuse my dear Aunt Sally.
Right.
So she's doing.
Which is parentheses. What is it?
Parentheses, exponents. Please excuse. Multiplication,
division, add, subtract,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
we got it, guys. Yeah. Between three of us, we got it.
Whew, I broke a sweat.
So she was like, go. "What? No, remember you were like, no, just do it Soli's way. It's easier. Do
she
you
was
understand?"
Future teachers of America. That's why I married her.
Like, she's like, "Do you remember?"
She taught you how to read better. Remember you were struggling.
So anyway,
we thought you were dyslexic.
So anyway, remember you were like, okay, why don't you learn Soli's Way? Because it's an acronym for something.
Because I'm watching TV. Learn Soli's Way.
I'm watching YouTube history right now.
I'm watching What Might Happen.
And so, yeah, she'll come and I'm like, that's not how I would do it. I was like, but I'm going to show you how I would do it. And then maybe you can tell me why the way they're telling you is that way. I mean, both ways give you the same answer, but
maybe one way makes sense more.
It's just the new. Just stop.
I remember what that thing
just keep
was.
It traditional, right. You know.
At least for that.
For math, math is math.
Yeah,
math is math.
Whether you like it or you don't.
Yeah.
What was it, Chingo?
It was that 14% of American students can't tell the difference between fact and opinion.
Okay.
And I think that's what happens when you have so much misinformation, paralysis by analysis, like breaking news 24 hours a day, like just a bunch of fucking bullshit.
Hey, but so, he came in testing me though. He asked me a question.
Ooh.
He goes, do you think that's a fact or an opinion? I was like,
no, because you were asking me, and that's how I broke it down. They gave the
students.
And
then I said, opinion? He goes, exactly. See, that's because we're not from that generation. I'm like,
well, we know how to fucking critical think still. These motherfuckers
don't.
So look, bro, here's where they came up with this 14%, right? Okay. They were like, how did they come up with this number? They said, this is what it was. They gave each student two documents. One document was, it said, like, the National Dairy Association, and here are some bullet points, right, that they're obviously what? Promoting. One of those bullet points was, if you really want to lose weight, milk is the thing to drink. That's one of their things that they're making up, which is obviously not fucking true. Milk is fatty, and, you know, there's 20 reasons why they cut dairy when you're in the bodybuilding. And then the other document was an actual, like, scientific journal published thing with sources and, like, data.
Like white papers?
I don't know what that is.
Okay.
I know about brown papers. but basically it was those two types of things. Well, only 14 of the motherfuckers got it right. Everybody thought that if you want to lose weight, you got to drink milk because the National Dairy Association, this is facts. That science data source stuff is opinion.
Were you the guy in the wheelchair at Marisol's school? No, what's going on?
I'm not a dare guy. But that's pretty fucking sad, man. That just lets you know that, like, yes, we're the shit. America's still number one. So on and so forth. We got the most guns, dropped the most bombs. But if your youth is purpose, like, the scary thing is that when automation comes in and artificial intelligence just starts taking non-creative jobs, how are these kids supposed to grow up and be informed citizens that know how to vote, right? Informed citizens that can compete for the good jobs that are going to give you a living wage. So guess what? They're fucked.
Okay. Funny you say that, babe. Mm-hmm. Because someone, I posted this thing about, give me some ideas on video content for me to post on YouTube. And one girl said, useful shit that high school doesn't teach, like how to balance a checkbook. We talked about
what
that.
What if you stopped at useful shit?
Useful shit videos.
How to do your taxes.
I was going to say that. Sorry not to interrupt.
How to budget.
With DARE, first thing that came to mind is instead of fucking having that chick, you know, about the DARE thing, come, scaring why don't kids. They just, yeah, instead of scaring kids, why don't they teach you how to balance a checkbook and know about taxes?
I'm teaching.
Nah, man, they want you to have bad credit so you could be stuck in a fucked up situation.
I refuse to let my girls fuck up the way I did. And so I think I told you, we talked about it last time on the podcast, right? Mickey's Christmas gift is going to, the money that I would spend on her Christmas gifts, we're gonna open up a bank account, and then we'll see if she'll really want to buy those items. And I'm going to get her little ledger so that she can keep track of, this is how much you start with. Every time you spend, this is how much is subtracted. You know, so
how
you need
to have left.
How much you have left, you know. So now she'll learn the value of money. And then she'll understand that it has nothing to do with us not being able to buy her what she wants. Mm-hmm. And she's really not a kid that really asks for anything, to be honest with you. I think the things that she mostly asks for is like, can I get a peppermint mocha, you know what I'm saying, or something like things like that. She didn't really material things. She just, you know, she gets things all year round, you know, so she doesn't thankfully she doesn't, you know, need anything, you know. She has everything she needs and pretty much everything she wants, you know. So I hope that I kind of already have an idea of what I want my Christmas card to her to say inside. And part of that is like, if there's a gift that I can give you, is the gift of learning how to be a responsible adult and, you know, how to function through life without, you know, anxiety or, you know, not knowing how to budget.
Well, you want them to be empowered so that they know how to do necessary, important, useful shit instead of getting plunged down to, like me, I went to college, right, motherfucking degree and all that shit. I'm 21. You get thrown into the world where you thinking, oh, somebody gonna have a job for you, they gonna be waiting for you, you got a degree, cool, here's your job, you know. You're thinking that, number one, and on top of that, it's like, wait, you know, I gotta, you know, I'm getting hit up for credit cards and wait, well, how important is this credit score thing? And like, well, I want to buy a house one day. How's that work? Like, just all that shit.
Yeah.
All that shit. And it's like, damn, you went to school all those years and you don't know none of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was me.
You know how it's always been important that, like, the parent actually teaches the kids these things, and it all starts at home, they always say, right? I think now, having, you know, kids and all this jazz and being around more friends with kids, it's even more important because of the misinformation, because of the way that things are being taught in school, that if it doesn't start at home now, I think kids are going to even be less, they're going to be less informed and more behind than, let's say, we were, because we didn't have as much of the internet and all the noise and all the misinformation. Does that make sense? Like, if you don't teach your kids now at home, like in 2020.
Oh, yeah. You have to get a hold of them first, because once the world.
Yeah.
I mean, just from a digital diet, like how much shit goes through their eyeballs, like from the screen to the eyeball. It's like their little brain is just getting scrambled and fried, and they already got a hold of them. And not only that, when I would drop Mickey off at school, like, I'm like, damn, I got to give her some good game and perspective before I just hand her over and they just educate them how they think. That's why I'm always preaching, like, certain things and shit.
So how much do you think the average the average cost for private college was last year?
Private college.
College.
I'm going to go with, like
Rice. Is Rice private?
Is Rice private?
I don't think Rice is private.
No.
Babe.
No. HBU? Give me an example.
But I think Trinity is is private. Mm. Yeah. Trinity is private.
Fuck, I don't know.
Right now?
Yeah.
Was it like 50?
I'd say like close to 60.
It's closer to 2016-17 was 30 to 40. So not cheap, basically. If anybody's listening, like, oh, my kids want to go to private school, like that's for 1 year or 12 credit hours or whatever it might be. 9 for in-state kids.
How much my high school was. Good thing I didn't pay.
Anyway, The Balance is a really good website when it comes to like finances and school and whatnot. But the conversation becomes, now that I've started to read more about that, just out of interest, that like everyone has a high school degree, so they're not that valuable. Everyone has a college degree because everyone's being pushed to go to college, that they're not as valuable as they once were. Where like somebody that had a degree 15 years ago, I was like, oh, he went all the way, you know, got a degree. Now it's like, every motherfucker's got a liberal arts degree, or have whatever kind of college degree that doesn't hold any weight. But you still have the debt from 4 years of, you know, 50 grand a year, 40 grand a year.
And you still have to factor in like hustle. Mm-hmm. Are you out hustling motherfuckers? And it's just like, I think people are led to believe that, like you were saying, oh, if you get that degree, you automatically entitled to this like really good job that pays good and stuff. And it's like, no, just there's different companies. But I mean, shit, the person who has that job that you're, the marketing job that you're looking for, they actually have an English degree, they knew somebody and they had some good experience, and then they did well there, and then the uncle was hiring over here. Not, you know, you sitting there with your marketing.
My mom taught me about taxes at a very young age, and trust me, I hated her for it when I was 17, because what 17-year-old wants to sit there and help to sort papers?
Oh yeah, you just do by hand, right? Long way.
Yeah, I mean, I still kind of do when we do our taxes.
But you know it.
But I know it, yeah. And so I just hated it because, you know, like I said, my friends didn't have to be responsible like that. I did. And so I hated it. The only thing I didn't like, my mom wasn't big on, was like budgeting or saving or, you know what I'm saying, any of those things. It was kind of like, here's your money. You figure out how you're going to use it. And if you don't have any, guess what? You probably should learn how to budget your money better. You know what I'm saying? So it was kind of like that.
Yeah.
It was never, but when it came to like taxes, like, I mean, I've been paying bills since I was very little. You got to remember I was the interpreter. So I understood bills at a very young age. I knew that you wrote a check to pay a bill, and you had to have a receipt when you went to Fiesta or wherever to pay your bill. So I knew that at a very young age, because my parents are immigrants. They didn't speak English at the beginning, you know, obviously as life went on. But because I was the first to learn English in our household, it was like, hey, can you read what this says? Or what does this say? I'm like, something, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you're sitting there trying to figure it out yourself. You don't really know the book. So it's kind of like one of those things. So I don't know if like maybe, you know, kids who are the oldest probably understand, they always end up with, you know, all the responsibility most of the time.
But now you know how to do a bunch of shit. And all those kids, the kids that were allowed to be kids and weren't forced to learn how to do taxes, they became adults and are like, fuck, I got to do this goddamn taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you can just pay someone to do it. That's where I come in cheap, I guess. Because I could easily, we could easily drop everything off at the accountant, but I refuse to like pay the extra money to
have
him
do. That's a lot of work, though. I damn near rather do it.
Yeah, he was like, this year, can we just ask him what he would charge?
Just hypothetically speaking,
get a quote.
Can we get a quote as to what he would charge? Because he could also do like a, he does like quarterly bookkeeping for you, or, you know, and I'm just like, nah, I do it myself. I'm not ready to pay that fee yet. So,
man, what was I going to bring up? We're talking about kids earlier and like, oh yeah, Mickey for Christmas, right? You said you're putting like, what was the money going towards again?
It's just her spending money.
Okay.
Because instead of me giving her the gifts that she wants, I want her to see if she would buy them.
Right.
If she was given this money.
That's pretty cool.
So I want to see if the things that are on her list that she has says that she wants, I want to see if she's going to buy them for herself. If here's the money that I would spend on you, right, for Christmas, I'm going to show you how you use your debit card. I've also asked my sister, because my mom and my sister have asked, like, what does she want for Christmas? I said, give her money, because I'm opening up her a bank account, you know. So I want to show her how you deposit money, too. So I want to show her two ways. So that's the reason why I asked my mom and my sister, because my mom's like, money, that's so informal. You know what I'm saying? She feels like that's, like, not a gift, you know?
But it puts the power in her hands to where now she has to be a conscious little decision maker instead of the power being in the kids' hands in the wrong way, which is they just make a fucking list and then the parents are the ones scrambling and stressing out and no one learns anything, right? That's the alternative.
And so what I want to do is with like the money my sister gives her or whoever, my mom, I don't care whose money we use, I want to show her how you do an ATM deposit, right? And then I want to take her inside the actual bank and then show her how you make a deposit inside the bank and how you're supposed to write your account number, how much you're depositing, you know what I'm saying? The date, and then you give it to the teller, you know what I'm saying? So I want her to understand that there's multiple ways you can go about doing it, you know, so that if she ever needed to deposit something through the ATM, she knows how, you know? I know that she's 11. I totally get it. People are probably thinking like, she's 11, bro. I know, but what better way to teach your child about, I'm not saying, obviously we're still going to buy her all the things that she needs,
but how many,
right?
How many dumb 21 year olds are there?
Right.
That don't, why am I always broke? Well, because when you were 11, they never gave you a custodial account at the bank. That's 10 years before. How fast your whole frontal lobe ain't even all the way developed.
So that way, whenever she wants something, you know, that's the one thing I used to hate was asking my parents for money. It was like one of those things I hated asking. And I would always just kind of like, man, if only I had a job, I didn't have. So when I wanted something, I would always ask my mom, can I clean the house and can you pay me? And then she'd be like, well, you have to clean the whole house.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. So because my mom would pay for like somebody to come and clean the house. So I'd be like, okay, if she doesn't come, can I get that money? I said, if you don't tell her to come, can I do it so that I can get the money? And so she'd be like, okay, but you got to do a good job. So it was like, I cleaned her room, her restroom,
Cinderella?
The kitchen. But I wanted the money because I didn't want to have to ask them for money. Does
for
that
sure.
make sense?
Yeah,
it
yeah.
was like,
because you earn it and you spend it on what
yeah,
you
want. What I want. I don't want to hear like, what did you spend it on, you know what I'm saying? Or how come you don't have money anymore? I gave you $20 3 weeks ago. I'm like, you know what I'm saying, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's, I'm always giving you money. Yeah, that was $20 3 weeks
yeah ago. Exactly. So that's kind of what it was for me. So it was like, you know, even if it was just like I was only gonna go to the skating rink with my dad,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying, and my friends, but it was like going to ask my dad, can I get nachos? You know, yeah, kind of thing, like
la casa y nachos.
My dad was actually pretty good. It was more my mom that made a bigger deal. She was a little bit more strict than my dad. My dad was a little bit more like easygoing. All right, whatever, you know, you girls want. I guess the way dads are with their
for
girls,
sure.
You know. And so he was a lot more easygoing than my mom was. My mom was way, way more strict. But it was just better for me. So then, my first job, I got it behind my mom's back. Because in high school, there's so many more activities you wanted to do. And so I never heard the end of it. Ay, Marisol, en cada cosa te metes. And I'm just like, okay, aren't you glad I'm active in school? And I need the money for school. Like, I'm not out doing anything. So I got a job behind her back, waitressing at a retirement home.
What?
And she didn't know. Well, one day, my friend, his mom would give us rides to, because I got him a job there. And technically, I got him the job there so that he could give us the ride to school. Mm-hmm. I mean, to the job. So anyway, he got sick, so he wasn't going to go to work. And I was like, oh my God, how am I going to get to work? That was my ride. You know what I'm saying? So I had to tell my mom. I said, I got a job. And she kind of just looked at me and she just kind of shook her head. She took me to work and she just said, I want for you to quit. She goes, because you have the rest of your life to work. She goes, and if you need money, just ask me for it. I'm like, I said, no, if I need money, it just don't happen like that. I got to hear a whole story about why do about you always need
Mexico. And,
yeah, about how, dude, about real. how your Pemex only doll that you, yeah, your only doll that you had was melted because it was so hot. You know what I'm saying? So it's like
that one story about the one doll. Yeah, no outfits.
Exactly. So it was kind of like melted one of those arm. Things. She let me actually keep the job, but it just, I couldn't keep up with it because I was involved in too many school activities to where it was like, I would be on the schedule. I'd come and give my manager like my schedule for school. And he was like, yeah, so when are you working? Just Saturday? And I'd be like, yeah, kind of. That's the only day I can kind of work, you know? So, you know, so that's kind of.
And just like that, 20 years went by.
Yeah, I know. Yep. Jesus. Jesus.
Custodial accounts. Let us know how it works out for you.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. Yeah. High interest bearing account of some sort for a toddler. Somebody on Instagram I saw was doing a video that, like, if you do it, you know, invest such and such amount in a custodial account, by the time they're 18, they'll have six figures.
Question. What gives high interest? Like, who pays out high interest? Where do you got to put it?
The average right now is like 2%, which isn't a lot, but if you do it in a custodial account, like with, so if you do like Ally Bank, which is an online only, Charles Schwab, Goldman Sachs, they have these high interest, like 1.9 to 2.5%. You do it for a baby, for your toddler, just that, without having to invest it in like
It's like a regular checking account?
It's just a savings account. So just a regular custodial savings account. So you could do it along with a checking account. But like if you just go to Wells Fargo or whatever and you open a savings account, they give you 0.1%.
2% shit.
That's why we don't have a savings account. I use a checking account as a saving account, if that makes sense.
It's another video on YouTube where they were talking about like basically when money used to be backed by gold, and then I think it was Bill Clinton and then the Chancellor of Germany and a whole bunch of big world leaders at once mysteriously decided to switch over all currency to be backed by Saudi petroleum. Convenient. So now it's no longer backed by gold, it's backed by Saudi oil. And then the banks started doing this thing, if I'm not mistaken, where basically it's like what people think happens is you go and put $10,000 into the savings at Chase. Chase then uses that money to like invest and loan to people, and that's kind of how it works. Well, what it is you keep your money in there. It sits there. They give you your little pennies. Like you're really losing money damn near when you factor it all out with that 2%. And that's totally separate from this casino thing they have going, where it's like they'll put in $100 into the World Bank and then they lend out $100,000 or whatever, right, off of that. So they're basically just printing more imaginary currency. And what ends up happening basically is the banks win, the central banks win in that situation. But what happens is the poor get poorer and the rich get richer. So like this little 2%. Can't do shit with it.
Well, that 2% doesn't even, well, at the very least, it gets closer to equaling out with inflation. So inflation's been 3% for forever, basically. So if you don't even put it in a 2% one, you're literally like your dollar is worth that much more or less 5-10 years down the road. And then you get into like, let's just say stocks, right? An interesting subject for a lot of blacks and Latins right now. I see a lot of entrepreneurs and people talking more about stocks. The S&P 500, you invest in like this one portfolio that has 500 different stocks, right? It has an annual yield or an annual return rate, I think, of like 8%. Now you're talking about something that's much more safer and way more, has a bigger ROI. Mm. So which is an interesting thing to look into if you're interested in it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
On that note,
we threw a lot of knowledge bombs today.
Yeah, jeez.
Coming
this
off that.
This was a good episode.
Talking about 100. Genocide and redlining and how these colonial people put their statues up in your town just to remind you.
Did we talk about that?
Nah, I've just some notes.
I missed that part.
Yeah, like you see they put the big German dude on a horse in this little African town. You know what I'm saying? Everybody got their little... Everybody got the statues.
I don't know where that was going to come into the conversation, but I like that you had it written down.
It's my little notes. You got to come back to it.
It was so funny. My soul spit all over her microphone.
I mean, you heard about, I mean, shit. You got, remember all the bullshit about these Confederate statues?
Yeah.
Same shit.
Same shit.
Motherfuckers got their statues everywhere.
Same shit, different part of the world.
That's what they trying to do, man. They trying to put their little statues up, but don't let them, dog.
Let's go out on how awesome that feature did for Bo Bundy was, man. People were so excited.
Shout out to
you.
Bo Bundy.
I was crushing, Bo. Yeah.
Hey.
No cutie pie.
I just kept hearing my disorder rewind my verse from the other room. Like, damn, girl, I wrecked it that hard.
Yeah.
I had it on repeat for a little bit on Instagram and then watched the video when he put it up the next day. And I was like, I was just as hyped as the people that were posting, like, man, I'm getting hyped seeing Chingo do music.
I loved seeing him.
I was like, now can I get studio time? I'm just
kidding. Ay, sufrido. Ay, my God.
Like, you got a studio right there.
Never, never, never. If anything, I've been asking him, like, hey, when are you going to finish the album? When are you going to finish the album? The tracks, like, we should really drop the album for the beginning of the year, have I not?
Yeah, so, and I had studio time
yesterday. Make me sound like I...
No. I mean, look, my baby let me have a podcast studio. She might let me have
which she's about to share with you. Yeah. You get half of it, motherfucker. Yeah. I get the other half.
Yeah, I'm going to need two.
You don't make me sound like I'm not supportive, babe. Come on now.
No, but I am anxious to, like, it just takes time. Mm-hmm. Yesterday I only had 2 hours, so the track is about 90% done. It's two verses, a little hook, but you know, it's kind of like, what would I have done if I had like another hour?
Yeah, you know, isn't that always?
It wasn't available, or what happened, babe?
I just booked two, and you know, because I'll be thinking too, like, well, I'm trying to make it home at a decent time, and you know,
yeah,
you know, that parent pickup line, they don't be playing over there. Which reminds me of, I gotta get out of here because I have improv class at 6 p.m
Nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Please tell a friend, like, subscribe. The podcast is growing thanks to people like you. Shout out to our sponsors.
Thank you.
Holla at you next week, and I might want to do a Theo Juve solo podcast.
Ooh.
Where he's all in Spanish talking shit on YouTube. He has a nice little set.
And now nobody can curate what you talk about now.
Well, yeah,
because right?
I won't be like, well, Google and YouTube could just make up whatever rules they want. They might be like, hey, we don't like mullets this week. So thank you guys.
And we might need some listener submitted stuff, content for the Theo Juve show, maybe.
Yeah, things to roast, maybe things to talk about, topics, advice.
Yes.
For sure.
Advice. Theo Juve could get real good motherfucking relationship advice.
I'm sure.
And we'll feature you on the podcast and on the YouTube if you submit the questions.
I might even interview you on my podcast.
We might even get a whole game plan going.
There you go.
So, new tour coming too. All right, guys. Thank you.
Peace.
Bye. Salalaman.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.